How many of you worry? I was going to say, if all of you don't put your hands up, I don't believe you. Now, some of us may worry a little bit more than others. Some of us may be part of, you know, the one person in the family that says, well, she's or he is the worrier, right? Some of us may worry a lot less. But I think if each of us were honest with ourselves and with the rest of us here, we'd all say at some point in our lives or others, we worry. I read some research this past week that seemed to suggest that people in the United States tend to worry even more than people from other parts of the world, which I thought was a rather interesting paradox. I mean, one would expect with as wealthy and as richly blessed as you and I are, that we would really have not a whole lot to worry about. And yet it seems that some people might suggest that the more we have, the more we worry. Each of us knows that helpless, perhaps, feeling of worry. Worry was certainly no stranger to those women we heard about in the opening verses of our gospel lesson. They had watched as their friend, as their teacher, as the one they thought was going to be their Savior, died. And now we hear in the evening hours of Saturday, soon after the Sabbath ended, which would have been about 6 o'clock in the evening, a number of those women went to buy spices. The opening verses tell us, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Those women, as they were walking to the tomb, certainly had concerns on their mind. Worry. I mean, you can imagine the inner turmoil and angst that was going on in their hearts after they had just lost a dearly loved friend, and now were facing the prospect of going to their friend's tomb, unwrapping the body, rubbing these spices into the body, and then rewrapping it so that that body would be ready for burial, to sit in that tomb forever. As they're walking, carrying 70, 80 pounds of spices, it wasn't a small load, also on their mind, in their hearts, was the realization that there was a fairly large stone covering the mouth of the tomb. These women were no strangers to worry or anxiety. They were struggling with the concerns that go along with losing a friend and trying to show love for a lost friend. You and I are not a whole lot different than those women, are we? As they walked to what they thought was a full tomb on Easter morning, you and I come to a full church. And as we come, we carry with us worries, concerns, things that make us anxious. Perhaps those worries have to do with our health. My cholesterol's too high, my blood pressure's too high, or maybe the health of a loved one. We bring worry and anxiety that weighs on our hearts about our children and how they're doing in school and if they're making friends and if they're liked and if people are being nice to them and how they're riding home to and from school on the bus. We carry with us worries and anxiety about things at home, interaction we have with our spouse. Or perhaps our spouse is gone and we carry around that burden. We carry around worry and anxiety about things at work, things in our neighborhood. I suppose if we stood here long enough, and if you helped me out, we could probably come up with a very long list of all the things that worry us, that weigh us down, that put that burden on our shoulders that every morning we wake up and pick back up each and every day. But like those women, what does that worry say about us? I suppose another way to think of it, why do we worry? But why were those women worried? I mean, from our vantage point in history, we're able to look back at what those women were going through and perhaps say, you are worrying yourselves about nothing. I mean, you and I are able to sit here and look back at history and say, those women on that walk to the tomb were worried and concerned about things that they really shouldn't have been worried and concerned about. Because the tomb was empty. Jesus was alive. The stone was already rolled away. They were worried and concerning themselves with things they really had no business worrying and concerning themselves about. The same can be said about our worries and concerns in life. What the women's worry betrayed about them was that they didn't have a full understanding or a full trust in the promises God had given to them. Jesus had told them, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to be raised again. The women on that walk to the tomb that morning should have been overjoyed because they realized it was the third day. Jesus was going to be alive. The tomb was going to be empty. Jesus was still in control. Jesus was alive. Your worries? Are they not that much different than the women's? Don't they betray a lack of confidence in God and His power to control things in our life? Don't they betray in our hearts a lack of trust? Trust that we know that not only God knows what He's doing, but that He has our best interests at heart? Don't those worries betray almost an acceptance that maybe God doesn't love me as much as He thinks, and so I need to start worrying about all these things in life that God has said He's going to take care of. I suppose if you boiled it down far enough, what those worries really betray is a heart that's sinful. It's a heart that says, I need to be in control. And if not, I don't trust that God can take care of this on His own. So I need to worry. It was no different than the sin that was living in the hearts of those women as they walked to the tomb on Easter morning. And yet what happened when the women got to the tomb with hearts that were burdened and worried? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? When the women arrived at the tomb, they found something unexpected. Remember, one of their worries was all about the stone, right? They walk into that cemetery, and what do they see? They look up, Why were we worrying? The stone has been moved. God is taking care of the problem. They walk a little bit further, and they see a young man dressed in white sitting there. He says, why are you here? You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, but you see, he's not here because this is a place for dead people. And Jesus the Nazarene, he's alive. He has risen. As those women got to the tomb, God had answered all of their worries and their concerns and showed them their worries and concerns were unfounded. So you and I come here on Easter to celebrate that very thing that those women discovered. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Oh, good. I didn't even have to motion for you that time. What does it say about our worries now? If Jesus is alive, it means when we look back at Good Friday, we see Jesus pay for all of our sins, and now he's no longer dead, but sin has been paid for. Jesus is alive, it means death has been destroyed. It means the devil really has no more power anymore because, well, Jesus crushed the head of the devil, just as God promised way back in Genesis. It means that the root of all of our problems, all of our worries, sin, has not only been dealt with, but completely taken care of. Your sin is forgiven. All those times you worry about things in life that in hindsight we look back and say, boy, I really didn't need to worry about that. God was in control. God comes to you on Easter and says, that's been forgiven. Your Savior is alive. Your sin is forgiven. And because our sin is forgiven, it means we're able to look at those worries you and I experience in life and say, If God was able to take care of the root of all of my problems in life, if he was able to take care of the root of sin in my life, certainly then I can begin to have more confidence in him as I deal with all these other smaller problems in life. Whether it be work, my children, or how others see me, or school, it means that as I walk to the tomb with those women on Easter, I see an empty tomb, but an empty tomb that's full. I suppose it's another paradox, huh? An empty tomb in which I see the fullness of God's love for me. That he would send his only son to die and take away all of my sin. That he would send his son to alleviate all my worries. As we walk to the tomb on Easter morning, we're able to see an empty tomb that's full of peace. It means now that I know my Savior has died and has risen, it means that separation that occurred between us and God no longer exists. God has adopted me into his family. He looks at me now as his dearly loved child. You and I walk to the tomb, we see an empty tomb that's full of hope. That hope of spending an eternity with our Savior and our God, because sin, devil, death has been destroyed. It means that as you and I experience Easter not only today, but realize now for believers, every day is a celebration of Easter. Because every day we get to wake up and hear that good news from our God that our Savior is alive, that our sin is forgiven. It means, like the women, we have this awesome news to share. I mean, you wouldn't guess it looking at the last verse of our text, right? They're trembling and bewildered. and they run away from the tomb, and they don't say anything to anyone because they're not quite sure what's happened. But they still listened to the angel. And they went and told the disciples. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples. And soon all of them were sharing this good news of an empty tomb. An empty tomb that was full. Full of God's blessings. Over the next several weeks, we're going to have the opportunity to dig deeper into different parts of God's Word and see all the different blessings God brings to us through that empty tomb. You and I are going to be able to sit at our Savior's feet and marvel at an empty tomb that's full. God grant us the fullness of an empty tomb and the confidence it brings to for us then to be able to deal with all the worries and troubles and hardships that come up in life, so that we can reflect a trusting heart, a faith that has full confidence in the Savior who's died for us, a Savior who is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.